Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn. You've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn.
Hi, this is Howes New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe. Tonight we're joined by our special guest Julie Thumb, the Brooklyn broker, to talk about technology's role in real estate. Stay tuned for Bob.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn Bridge.
Once again, this is Howes New York with Brooklyn attorney Robert Howe. Tonight, we're talking with our special guest, Julie Thumb, on technology and real estate. And now, as always, here is our host, Robert Howe.
Well, welcome everyone to Howes New York. Tonight we're talking about technology and how it's changed the real estate business. And we have famous Brooklyn realtor Julie Thumb on to talk about how it's changed over the years. Julie is associated with RE/MAX and one of the top performers in that organization, and we thought she'd be the person to bring on and talk about how she has viewed the change in the way buyers and sellers have used technology as it's evolved. Welcome, Julie, to the show once again.
Thank you, Bob. I always love being on your show, and I appreciate you having me.
Yes. Well, you know, Julie, we thought you have a little bit of experience in the field as well as I do, and probably have seen the changes in the real estate market, the way people, the way your customers, your sellers, and your buyers have approached transaction over the last 10, 20 years. And certainly there has been a change with the information explosion that has gone on.
Mm-hmm.
People are demanding all sorts of information, and it's usually readily accessible on the internet. So why don't we begin by talking about what it was like before the information boom? What? How did you get clients? What did clients know? What did they not know? And what was the role of the broker, say, 15 years ago?
Well, it was obviously entirely different. The broker basically was the king or the queen. You were in charge. You were the keeper of all the information. So a buyer could really do virtually nothing without you. They had to have you. They had to engage you if they wanted to purchase property because we were the keepers of all the information. And it was through our MLS and through, you know, and everything was pretty, I don't know if you want to use the word secret, but it was privileged and private information, which, because there was no internet, you didn't have the World Wide Web, you didn't have, there was no way for the buyers to find the property with the exception of A, the for sale sign, or B, if they went to the broker's office and they looked in the window, maybe there were pictures, you know, or something of property, or they walked in to work with a real estate person to ask them what was available. So that's how you accessed properties back then. Or open houses. Open houses were another vehicle, another tool of buyers being able to find something. They look in the newspaper. Everything was printed in the local newspaper. And that's how you found out that something was, another way you found something was for sale, or you found out that there was an open house.
So really when a buyer came to you, all the information they had was that there was a property for sale, whether it be a co-op apartment or a three-bedroom house, semi-attached, even if they didn't have that information.
Right.
And they relied on you totally for all of this information.
Totally. We were empowered, really, and they had to come to us. There was no option.
And so let me ask you, how did you then get your information about properties? I guess you relied on word of mouth, your reputation for people to recommend you, just dumb luck in bumping into someone who said, yes, I want to buy, I want to sell. But you also didn't have many tools at your disposal to see what was going on in the real estate market. Is that right?
No, we really didn't. We had our MLS, or multiple listing service, and back then, Bob, it was really funny when I think back then, all the years ago, I'm in the business almost 30 years, when I think back then how we did things, it's almost comical. But we had, many years ago when I first started, we had these basically little sheets of paper. They were not even loose leaf size. They were 3x5 or 5x8 sheets of paper that had holes on one side that went into some sort of a binder type thing. And you flipped through them. And basically you had, if you were lucky, a black and white photo of the outside of the house. Sometimes they were on colored paper, you know, green and blue and pink, or sometimes they separated them by color. You know, so the co-ops were in one color and the houses, you know, one families were in another color, et cetera. So So you have these pieces of paper with maybe a photograph of the outside of the house, or like a almost like a mimeograph, because it was a printed page that was printed from something with a picture on it. So the picture didn't come out as a picture normally would. And then you had the printed information about the house and just some basic information, you know, one family, semi-detached, private drive, you know, whatever it was, and the price and the lot size and, you know, just some basic information. And that was it. That was what you had. And then you had no idea what the interior of the house looked like. You had to rely totally on what the other broker listed, what they put as far as, you know, condition and, you know, amenities or anything. And then you went to the house and saw it. You brought your buyer and you showed it.
So you were learning almost as the buyers were learning. I mean, you had a little more information.
Yes.
But you were basically learning as the buyers were learning too.
Yes, we were. Definitely.
And so let's take this from the perspective of a seller 15 years ago. You know, of course, today they have all sorts of tools at their, you know, disposal. But 15 years ago, someone approaches you, says, I want you to represent me in the sale of the house. They probably don't have much information at the seller at their disposal to really dictate, you know, what they want. They have to rely on you.
They would rely on, you know, hearsay. Well, people still do that, unfortunately, but, you know, their neighbor. Oh, I know my neighbor sold this house for, you know, $1 million. So-and-so got $1 million. And, you know, today it's easy, very easy to access that and go right online on your iPad or your phone and find out if the neighbor actually really did get that much money, you know. But back then you didn't have the ability to just find out immediately. I mean, 15 years ago, we did have computers, you know. You're talking about really longer ago where it was more difficult, you know. But even if you had a computer, you had to go back to your office to do it. You didn't have it with you in the car, you know, where you actually carry an iPad or an iPhone today. So you would check that way. Or you would go through, once again, the multiple listing service, and you would find what's called the comps, which we still use, of course, but you would find the comparable sales in the neighborhood and see what, you know, other people's homes closed for, and that's how you could determine, you know, the value of someone else's, you know, someone's house.
So let's ask Jason to jump in on this. Jason has been a homeowner for about 10 years, so he's probably just before this information boom. Jason, what was your search like when you wanted to buy your co-op?
Well, I could attest to what Julie's saying. Back then, even though we did have that technology and we did have the internet and we did have all that, it seems like ages ago, or in the dark ages, compared to now, just a short time later, 12 years that I have my co-op. But we pretty much got it from the word of mouth. We knew a broker who recommended, you know, some places. We went to see these places. We, you know, brought some friends and family to kind of give their input. And, you know, it was basically just the, you know, we used the human element for our search then. And since then, obviously now, we're almost exclusively using the internet and using all the sites to search, putting in, you know, the different variables and seeing what they return. It's amazing, you know, what information you get back. And not only that, but just to see a place, you can almost see with, you know, 360-degree video now when you look at some places online. You really – it's almost like you don't even have to go to the actual place. You can almost buy it
right,
based on what you see online.
Yeah, so it's changed quite a bit. So, Julie, tell us now, 15 years later, let's talk about buyers for a second. How do buyers present themselves to you now as opposed to 15 years ago?
Okay, well, I want to pick up on something that Jason mentioned, which is a really key thing, Jason. The human element. You know, you had a human element back then, which I honestly do miss in many ways. Maybe I'm old-fashioned. Maybe it's because I've been around so long. But you have this human element. So people, you actually spoke to people. Now, buyers know more than you do, first of all. When they call you, they already know everything that is for sale. They'll call you and say, well, what about this? I saw this online. You won't necessarily know, because if there's something for sale, let's say, that just came up seconds before or an hour before, because they have these apps on their phone, Trulia and Zillow, where if they're actively looking for a home, they get notifications. So, you know, to their phone. So they're going to find out what comes up on new on the market. You as a broker, you're not on the phone every 2 minutes looking for properties, because you're not actively looking to purchase. So you're not, and you're not getting those notifications. So they actually know what's for sale before you do. They know everything about the property, and they'll give you the properties they want to see. Say, well, what about this one? I just got a notification on my phone. I'd like to see this. But the problem sometimes is, even though they're still reaching out to you, and if you're a good broker and you're referred, which I often, most times am, or from my profile on Zillow or past clients, I am a human and they're human, they do speak to me. But oftentimes that human element has disappeared because everything's done online, and sometimes people don't even speak with you. They email you then, or you'll get a text message from that buyer who saw that listing. And sometimes your relationship isn't even a speaking relationship. You're just, you know, speaking via email or text message or, you know, things like that nature, you know, so not even having a voice. So that's how things have changed, you know, very dramatically.
And so the buyer is relying on, you know, their searches on the internet. What are they looking at? What sites are they looking at? And then comment about the sites, ones that are, you know, positive and helpful, and ones that may not be.
They're looking on Zillow, Trulia, The New York Times, Street Easy, Hotpad, Homes.com, Realtor.com, and those are just to name a few, and those are the bigger sites. They're all good in terms of information. If there's a property on there and the broker has loaded it properly, or the site has gotten the information correct, because sometimes it doesn't happen that way, that the site has not interpreted the information properly, or maybe the broker didn't load it properly, there's a mistake. That information then is, you know, it's out there for the public, but it isn't always correct. So oftentimes, I'll use Zillow as an example. They are known by all of us brokers, and I explain this to buyers all the time, how many they're known for all these mistakes that they have. And one of the things that Zillow does is they have something called a Zestimate, which is, oh, your Zestimate for your home is $1 million. It's not even close half the time. It's just completely wrong, totally wrong. And the unfortunate fact is also that the company is based in California, and they don't know what co-ops are. So when you load a co-op on Zillow, as I often do, and you put it in as a co-op, you scroll down where it says co-op unit, and they didn't even used to have that as an option. Everything was a condo for them. You would put in co-op unit, and then in my description, I even say the words co-op, because oftentimes I get buyers calling me and say, oh, I'm calling about your condo for sale for $189,000. And I'm saying, I don't have a condo for sale for $100,000. I have a co-op. Oh, I thought it was a condo. It says condo. So you do find a lot of mistakes online, and you really have to make it clear to your purchasers that they really want to find a home. They still really need to, should use a broker, have that human element, because there's so many mistakes online, whether they're mistakes from when it was originally placed online, or the mistakes from the site itself, or a combination thereof. You need the broker to interpret it, and the broker to explain, you know, exactly what the properties are, and if they're at, and some, a lot of times, that's another thing, these properties that are on these sites are not even available anymore. They're either older listings, or they're listings that are relatively new, but you look on the MLS and they're in contract already, or you find out from the broker there's an accepted offer. So the buyer gets all excited, they see the property, they think they're going to go see it, and it turns out they're not able to. So you really do need a broker. I still feel we are of much value to buyers and sellers because we really have to disseminate the information that's out there and, you know, to the buyer.
Yeah, so, you know, many professionals are suffering because of the flood of information that's on the Internet. It's almost empowering people who go on and search for themselves to do things on their own. People are doing taxes on their own. People are booking vacations on their own. Mm-hmm. They're doing all the research, as you point out, on houses before they come to you, and there's a lot of misinformation. And you really do need a professional to, limit or interpret, you know, the information that they're getting, on the Internet. And as you point out, a lot of it is wrong, and people are confusing houses, co-ops, and condos. And it's just, of course, you also hear this anecdotal information about it's listed, but it was sold, or these estimates are way off, and so
right.
Now you have the issue of trying to explain to them that this is not the right, information, and of course, unfortunately, we fall into the trap of believing what we read on the Internet. And
correct.
That is a horrible mistake to make. The Internet is one of several sources of information. You have to put it in its right place. It is not the Bible. And, it's one of many types areas of information, that you should look at. So how about now, tell us, Julie, a little bit about sellers approaching you now that they have these Zestimates and all these other things. How has information technology affected the way they approach you?
Okay, well, the seller, first of all, because they have the same, the access to the information, they will come and say, I looked online and, first of all, they'll present that Zestimate to you. And then your job as a broker is to explain that they are not to go by that. So, that's one thing they'll bring up to you. The other thing they'll bring up is because they can access, they'll see what the neighbors' houses have sold for. Sometimes the neighbors' houses have sold for a price that's way under what it should be, and that's because maybe there was some money that was hidden somewhere and the true price didn't come out, and the seller can see that as well as they can see the real prices too. So they're able to access that, they're empowered by that, but that's okay because we have that same information. So your job as a broker before you go to a seller is to do your due diligence, not only for the price of the house, but you have to do other due diligence. You got to check the C of O. You have to check for their deed. These are things that I do personally. You have to check for what their taxes are. Their taxes may be, in fact, different than what's actually listed on the public information. When you look on it's called Realist. We go on something and we look at the house and we see the taxes listed. But then when you go into NYC.gov, you find other information. So, which is all public, by the way, for anybody and everybody. But your job as a broker is to do the due diligence, present it to the seller, whether it's a co-op, condo, house, commercial property, whatever it is, and then you go to them armed and ready, and you have everything in front of you, so you know at least as much as they do, but really you should go in there knowing more than they do, because you want to prove your value and say, why they should hire you, because if you don't know more than them, well, they could say, I could sell it myself. Why, it's a seller's market. Why do I need you to sell my house? I can stick up a sign and, But that's another subject because there are other reasons why, of course, you should use a broker. But the sellers are empowered by the web also, by information that's accessible to everybody. So you got to be prepared and you got to know what you're talking about.
And overall, Julie, has this information been helpful or I guess it's, you know, something, it's a reality that you have to deal with. It's not going away. More information is coming online. And I know, at least from, you know, the legal side of it, clients of mine are coming to me having looked at things like ACRIS, which tells you who owns the properties. They're looking at Department of Buildings to see if there are violations and things of that nature. So they're coming on, and also, of course, they've finished with you and then end up with me, they already know values of properties and what they're going for and interest rates and things like that. Overall, has it been a good change, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question. I mean, you know, having all that information is really important. It makes our job, actually our lives, much easier. So I'm very grateful for it. You know, you have to keep up with things. I mean, you know, you're in the business. If you want to be successful and keep your business, you know, going, and more than going, be just keep it really strong, you really have to be up on everything. So, yes, I do find it life much easier in many respects than it was years ago. Years ago was actually a lot more difficult. The only thing that's more on the positive side, as Jason had said years ago, is the human element. And I'm afraid we've lost some of that, and it's a little sad. But I try to, you know, make sure that it's part of my business with my clients and my customers that we do have that human contact, you know, as often as possible. It's not so, you know, it's more so that it's with the younger generation that you don't have it as much. Older people, you know, people like us, you know, in our late 50s, they're still talking on the phone. They're not, you know, they're using the information out there, no question, you know, but we do have more of a human element with the older generation because that's what they're used to. Not to say that they're not computer literate, though, because, you know, my father, he's 87. He's like on his fourth computer. So he's got an iPad, he's got a smartphone, you know. So older people do have access to technology as well. It's just that they're still willing to speak on the phone, you know, and do that sort of thing. So, but, you know, whether it's a buyer or a seller, everybody's got the information, you have the information, and you got to keep up with it. Otherwise, your business is really going to fade.
Gotcha. Okay, well, I guess your message, Julie, is that sure, go ahead, you know, get as much, for the consumer, for both the buyer and the seller, get as much information as you can. But you do need the human element. You do need the broker to interpret that, to advise you, and to enhance that information with things that might not make it on to the Internet.
Correct. 100%.
Okay. Well, there you have it. Thank you, Julie, for your thoughts on how information technology has changed your industry. And who knows, hopefully it won't change to the point where they don't need humans anymore, but
I think hopefully they'll
always be that human element to interpret. And once again, we thank you. You are a regular on our program, and we appreciate you coming on tonight to talk about technology and real estate.
Thank you, and I appreciate you having me. It's always great to be on your show. Thank you so much.
Yes, good. Thank you, Julie. Well, this again concludes tonight's radio show, and thanks to Julie Thumb, broker at REMAX in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, for sharing her thoughts with us on, you know, how information technology has changed her industry. This is, and thanks to Blog Talk Radio, of course, for hosting our show. This is How's New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people. Wishing you a good night and a good morning and a good afternoon. I am your host, Robert Howe.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from. from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up